Have you ever started something new and didn't finish it?
You were excited. You invested time and money.
You got stuck.
I'm Teresa Merrick.
And I'm David B.
And this is the podcast with two ADHD entrepreneurs, and we've been there.
And worked with hundreds of people in the exact same place.
The IDK WTF I Was Doing podcast will take you away from feelings of frustration and overwhelm.
And lead you to the clarity you need to take action and get shit done.
Listen today, because it's important to admit that no one really knows
what the fuck they're doing.
Welcome back, action takers, to another episode of the IDK WTF I Was Doing podcast. I am David B.
And I'm Teresa Merrick. And we are here today with Stacey Duffy, who is an incredible real estate agent and super knowledgeable about everything home related. We're so excited to have you, Stacey.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much. It's a pleasure, and I'm super excited to be here.
Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah. So I've been in the Denver metro market. My husband and I moved here, almost 9 years ago. And I was in engineering before, lived in Texas in the DFW area, born and raised, moved to Denver, and decided in the process of a move that a career change where I needed to know people was a great idea, moving to a place where I didn't know anybody. But I bought and sold my first house in Texas, and then moving here, I wanted to do something different. And it really opened my eyes up to the opportunities to serve kind of a niche market, a niche clientele, very type A. You know, my husband and I are engineers, and we tend to like a lot of detail. So that's really where I've focused, is to be a realtor, to provide those services to, of course, anybody that would like some help. But I'm really knowledgeable, and I like to share knowledge and educate. And so decided to get into real estate, I guess about, 8.5 years ago. And it's been fun ever since. It's my passion. I love it. I've got a couple of kids. My husband and I live in Foxfield, which is kind of between Centennial and Parker. It's kind of a little nestled in neighborhood. But yeah, it's what I do and what I love and truly my passion. So happy to talk about it.
Yeah, awesome. Definitely. Well, I think some people don't take real estate agents like seriously because, you know, they're like, oh, well, that's like what you get on the side. Like, so you came to a new place and you had to like meet people. So what did you do to like get yourself out there?
Yeah. And you're right. That's probably one of the biggest frustrations that I had, was going from, you know, being in engineering, and especially being a female in engineering, that has kind of a level of respect and authority that comes with it. And then going to being a real estate agent, where a lot of people are like, oh, yeah, my cousin is a real estate agent, and my uncle and my boss and everybody else. Right. So but that's truly where differentiating myself and showing how I can add value and, you know, getting into it. I had partially that misconception as well. Right. After hiring someone to help me buy, hiring someone to help me sell. And I'm like, really, really, there's this kind of opportunity here. And I certainly learned a lot of things I didn't realize coming into it. But it's something where building the relationships with people and adding such a detailed knowledge base in such a large purchase and a large milestone in most people's lives. And a lot of people just gloss over it and think realtors are a dime a dozen and we're all the same. And it's, I tell people, I'm like, okay, attorneys, you know, the person who graduated bottom of their class is still an attorney, same for doctors. So there's an entire range of service and knowledge and capability and fit, even just personality fit. But that was really a lot of my challenge getting into the industry and having that level of confidence in myself of I can help people with this, even though it's something different than what I've done before, as well as meeting all the people, right? So I'm a people person. So for me, it was really an opportunity to say, hey, I get to build my life and my business and how I spend my time around meeting people and helping people. And so that was a really good fit for me. So I joined meetup.com, which I know is where we met. I met Teresa. So that was awesome. I love that. And I met, so many people through that. And I really built my database and my network through that, because I didn't have an office to go into that wasn't full of other real estate agents, right? So, and my husband tends to be a little on the quieter side and he's not super social. And so, but that's really how I built my network and my relationships, is finding people that like the same things I do. And then when they need help with that part of their life, then I'm there to help.
That's awesome. I think let's talk about more about Meetup here in a second and kind of how you built that network. But I'm kind of interested in, because coming from an engineering background, that seems dramatically different than going into real estate. So what was it about real estate that, what made you want to shift into that as opposed to anything else, you know, building any other kind of business or getting into any other industry?
Yeah, I've always been very entrepreneurial. So even at, because I went to school at Texas A&M, and so going through the engineering school, I was the only engineer that was in the Entrepreneur Society. So they were like, it was all business majors, right? And marketing majors. And so I've always been very entrepreneurial, very much in the mindset of, okay, if I'm working for somebody else, then I'm making somebody else money. I want to be in control of my life, of my schedule, of my growth potential, really. Mm-hmm. And not captive to somebody else's corporate requirements of relocation. I'm big on enjoying where you live. And for me, in the engineering job I had, which I'm very grateful for, I learned a lot. I met some amazing people. But the requirements were, hey, if you want to get to a certain level, you need to move around to these places. And I'm like, okay, I don't really want to move to those places because those places are not places I want to live. So what can I do, right? So that was a lot of it. And the real estate piece came in because I was fortunate enough that my parents had moved into the house. They still live into this day, but they bought that when I was a year old. So, and that was their second home. They had a home in the neighborhood. It was a little bit smaller. They had me as the second kid, said, okay, we need a little bit more space, and, you know, moved a few streets down the road, and they still live there today. So, and my parents also purchased rental property, an investment property. And not some, you know, massive portfolio by any means, but enough where growing up, I'm 6, 7, 8 years old. And they said, okay, we have some new tenants coming in. The old tenants are moving out. And we would spend, you know, 2, 3, 4 weekends, all day Saturday, all day Sunday. You'd take a cooler, you take it to the house, and you're vacuuming and cleaning and putting in flooring and putting in carpets and kind of being exposed to that, as well as meeting the people that were living there for 5, 10, 15 years sometimes. And how much they loved being there, and it gave them options that they wouldn't have had. And so it helped people find homes. It helped us build some financial independence, some passive income, a little bit of a safety net in other ways. And for me, it was just kind of a perfect opportunity in that, as well as, I mean, low barrier to entry, right? I mean, honestly, it's not as hard to get a license as it probably should be, which is why there's such a bad stigma around a lot of licensed agents. And for me, it was like, okay, this is a quick way to get in the black, you know, not be in the hole from starting some major high risk venture, because my husband's really risk averse. I tend to be a little bit more risk tolerant. And, but it was really an opportunity to get into that because I knew I wanted to start having a couple of rental properties. I knew I wanted to, I was going to be in the market anyway. And so it was just kind of a natural fit.
Yeah. Yeah. That's awesome. That's really cool.
Oh, and I love what you brought up, just as a reminder to folks, because especially in Colorado right now, buying is not everybody's option, but you can find an amazing landlord who cares about what you're, because I know people have a lot of also kind of stigmas about like having crappy landlords, but like there are amazing landlords out there who do take care of their property and they take care of their tenants, and it's a good experience. So I love that you got to see that that's possible. That's all you knew as a kid. And so then you're able to just carry that into who you are and how you show up now, because it matters. It really does.
No, absolutely. And that's, I think there's, being in the industry especially, I hear a lot of, oh, landlords are terrible. I was like, okay, guys, there's good and bad in everything, but there's, people need to rent. When we first moved here, we sold our house there and needed to rent for a year because I didn't know where in the metro we wanted to live, what we could afford. Like, people constantly need options for temporary housing. And it's a huge need in the market. And it's something that if it's a win-win situation, it's good for me. It's good for them. It's good for the neighborhood. Like, honestly, some of my tenants right now, I just helped them close this week on a house literally down the street in the same neighborhood. Like, they love the neighborhood so much. They're like, we want to buy here. We want to buy over there. Like, yes, that's awesome. So yeah, it's really kind of, my goal is to make it a win-win for everybody.
Yeah. And then your tenants are your clients for when they're ready to buy a house, which is awesome too. Smart. Like,
yeah,
double it up. So great.
So coming from being in the industry, and you'd mentioned a second ago that, you know, there is a lower barrier to entry. So there are some great real estate agents and some probably some not so great ones. What are some things as, you know, a potential home buyer that we should look for a good real estate agent? And is it, can you just switch? Like, if you like go with someone and you don't like them, can you just go?
Great questions. Great questions. So as I preach this in all my videos on my YouTube channel, please interview agents. because a lot of people don't think of it this way, especially buyers. Sellers will think of it this way because of how our current compensation structure, traditional structure is set up, is that a lot of times the sellers are paying more for the agent up front, but you're hiring someone to do a job for you. Mm-hmm. So talk to more than one person and realize that you probably wouldn't have the doctor do surgery that you need done once every 30 years or 20 years that's only a doctor on Saturdays. So, you know, it's that kind of context that I'm like, a lot of people don't realize you're hiring someone to help you with your largest financial investment for most people, short of owning a business or franchises or something like that. For most people, a home is going to be the most expensive thing that they buy and that they literally pay for thousands of dollars or tens of thousands of dollars every month. And so interviewing multiple agents is the best way. Definitely ask for referrals. You can do your research online. But as I mentioned, if a company advertises a lot, then maybe that's, they're drawing a certain type of consumer, right? So when you hear radio ads, then maybe that's, they're going to go for a lot of people, right? They're going to try to attract more people. If you want somebody that has a well-oiled machine that knows how to get clients in, get clients out, get people into houses, cool, that's an option. But if you want a little bit more one-on-one attention, those people are not going to spend tons of money in advertising. They're going to be based on your neighbors, your friends, your family, and referrals. So I always say, ask for referrals is probably the best thing. If you have friends that are licensed, because the average, depending on which study you look at, the average person in the United States knows between 7 and 12 realtors, right? So talk to those people first. You have those relationships. Talk to the ones and interview them and ask them questions. Ask them, hey, here's a bad experience I had. How does it typically work with you? What are your statistics? How many offers do you have to write with clients? How long are your listed properties on the market? But really just talking to more than one agent, because most people don't. They just work with the first person that answers the phone, or that whoever answers the ad on the little button on the side of the webpage that they click.
Or that they're in the same swimming class with or something.
Exactly. And doesn't mean those people aren't capable, but talk to more than one so you feel confident in your decision. Because what happens is when there's challenges in the process, you're going to blame that person. Mm-hmm. Unless you talk to more than one person and then you feel confident. You're like, no, I picked the best person. It's a rough situation. We'll get through it together. It's not the person. It's just, here's the situation. And so it gives you as the homeowner, whether buyer or seller, more confidence in your decision. And the fact that you know what else is out there, right? So that's my big thing, just interviewing agents. Ask for referrals, do some research online, but interviewing and talking to more than one person gives you so much context in picking a good one.
People don't think about that. They just go with, oh, my cousin is one. And sometimes people are afraid to like hurt their cousin's feelings, but it's like, right, if your cousin is a Saturday only realtor, you don't have to go with that person.
Yeah. And I've given that advice to family before as well, you know, when they'll call from another state and say, hey, I, you know, one of my best friends is an agent. I talked to them, you know, they gave this value in my house. I don't know if it's right. And I said, did you get another opinion? Well, no, because I would feel guilty. I'm like, is your guilt worth $50,000 to $100,000? Because that's what we're doing, is we're putting a price tag on your guilt. And it's hard to do that, but you have to do that. And so when you're interviewing more than one agent, maybe there's a lot of trust here, but somebody else had a good point. It doesn't mean it's black or white. You can go back to somebody else and said, hey, I wanted to talk about this other piece. We negotiate for a living. So a lot of times people don't feel good negotiating with us. And I'm like, guys, we negotiate for a living. So if we can't do this for ourselves, then how good are we going to be able to do it for you? So that's a big piece that I point out to people. And it's a good way to test our capabilities there. But yeah, I mean, definitely talking to more than one agent, it's hard to do, but put a price on the guilt if you chose somebody just out of guilt, because you really shouldn't.
It's a business. Like, I think when you think about it as like, this is the biggest purchase I'm ever going to make is in a home, even, or if you're going to buy a second property, like it's, these are the biggest purchases of your life, mostly, yep, for most of us. And it's like, if I'm going to have someone fix something at my house, I will get multiple, I'll get multiple, exactly, people, because I want to know, if you're going to do my roof, how much are you going to charge me? I'm going to ask, right, two or three roofers, how much are you going to charge me? Because I want the best quality, the best workers, and I want to make sure it's done right. Like, it's, right, but I don't, I think we forget, and it's like, well, I might upset Susie. Well, if Susie can't understand that this is the biggest purchase of my life and I just want to be 100% positive that she's the right person, then Susie probably isn't the right person.
Right. And it's because a lot of it's the goals, right? So price point comes with service, comes with communication, you know, good, fast, and cheap, pick two, right? That's kind of the old adage when it comes to a lot of contractors. And so, but just in general, it's really finding someone that's going to understand what your goals are and help you get there and be able to communicate their value proposition for what they're compensated and make sure that all those things are a good fit. Because I have had interviews that I've been in where I've told people like, hey, thanks so much for the time. I appreciate it. I'd be happy to help you. But honestly, I don't think this is going to be a good fit. I know somebody else based on your situation, whether it's location, timing, personality, family style, whatever, that is going to be a better fit for you. And it's going to give you a better outcome. So, and agents that are willing to do that, that say, hey, thanks so much, but I'm not the right person for you. That takes a lot. That's essentially saying, I'm giving up my paycheck and I'm going to give it to somebody else because that's better for you. I mean, obviously, that's not the situation every time, but definitely interviewing multiple agents. And then to answer your question on the can you switch piece, a lot of people don't understand that there's in the state of Colorado, that's what I'm going to speak to because that's where I'm licensed, right? Every state has different contracts. Sometimes they vary by metro area even. But in the state of Colorado, we have what's called an exclusive right to buy. So when you're talking about home buyers, whether it's buying or selling, you have to hire an agent to promote and protect your interests in the state. So a lot of times when people go on a website and click a button, say, hey, I want to go see this home at 10 o'clock tomorrow, the person showing the home, you have not signed an agreement with them for them to promote your interests. That means they're literally working as a referee, not as a coach. Mm. And so that's all based on a brokerage disclosure to buyer situation that's through the state. But essentially, a lot of people don't understand that. I didn't know that the first time I bought my house. I bought my first house at 23, and I didn't realize until I got my license here in Colorado that what I thought was my agent didn't work for me because they never asked me to sign anything that says, hey, you need to hire me to work for you to promote your interests. So to protect your interests. And I didn't realize that. That was the biggest eye opener for me getting my license here. And so having someone that explains those things, here's how I can work for you. Or here's what we need to do. So once you sign those agreements with your agent, there are options to, you know, if they just abandoned you, sure, there's options and clauses in there for you to switch. But a lot of people don't realize that their agent isn't their agent. Their agent is a transaction broker unless they hired them. And that's usually where the issue comes in. So depending on the situation, yeah, you could switch if your agent never asked you to hire them. But I have had situations, I've had one before where we were working together, we had an agreement and, you know, we both came to the conclusion, we're like, this isn't working. Let me have you work with somebody else because this is not a good fit based on what your goals are, based on how I work with my clients. And so we have the opportunity to do that. And it's all about making sure that the fit is right, but understanding what you're obligated to and whether your agent really works for you or not is really important. The biggest advice I can give is if you're even thinking about it, I've had clients sit down 4 years before they bought a property. I met people at an open house 3.5, I think. Yeah. Sean and Samantha, 3 years, 3.5 years before they actually started shopping for a home. And so because people have this in the back of my mind long before they actually start doing anything. And so once you start looking online and shopping, you're getting curious. A lot of people don't think to shop realtors then, but that's the best time to do it because that's where we can advise you and say, hey, when do you want to do this? 2 years down the road? Cool. Here's the three things you can do between now and then to put you in a better position. Mm-hmm. Don't sign a lease that ends in April. Sign a lease that ends in October. Because maybe where you want to buy, that gives you more options, right? Or make sure you have a month-to-month option. We can give a lot of strategic advice that way. And so having those consulted early on is really the better way to go.
Okay. I'm like, my mind is really like, let's take a really quick break. Stacey, okay. So good. And so stick with us, guys. We'll be right back from this little break and hear more from Stacey. Have you ever started something new that you were really excited about and invested time or money into, but after doing it for a while, you reach a point and you just feel like, I have no idea what the F I'm doing.
There's that bubbling up of frustration because you're not quite as good as you thought you'd be, or it's nowhere near as easy as you expected. Then suddenly a wave of guilt comes at the same time and you don't really want to or feel like you can express this to anyone.
Having a dream you want to accomplish can be very sad and isolating. It's lonely because visionaries tend to see the world the way that it could be instead of settling for the way the world currently is, like most people do.
We believe this so deeply that we wrote a book with the exact 4 steps to help.
This guide is designed to take you out of that feeling of frustration and overwhelm and lead you into the calmness and clarity that you need to reach the life that you know in your heart you're destined to have.
If you've started a project or a goal but have stopped, gotten stuck, or are starting to feel burned out, this is 100% the book for you.
Go to idkwtfpodcast.com today and download your digital copy with the coupon code ACTION to get it on us, because we want to join you and be your supportive friends and partners throughout your journey.
It's only free for a limited time if you use the code ACTION by going to our website, idkwtfpodcast.com.
Check it out today and let's get unstuck together.
And welcome back. So we just covered probably my favorite takeaway so far of this is that, you know, something I didn't realize is you can actually get a real estate agent like any other contractor, essentially, where you interview a bunch of people, see who really aligns with you. And then the key for me on that last part was really get that agreement in place so that, you know, you guys are working for each other better. So you're committed to them and they're committed to you, and you can kind of really get your both of your needs met better that way. And just to bring it back real quick, we talked about that a little bit in a previous episode where we were talking about finding accountability buddies, where unless there's a real agreement in place, there just seems to be like things fall through the cracks and then people get mad at people. And when you're dealing with homes, that's a significant amount of money, which means there can be a significant amount of anger or resentment that can build up when things don't go right. So I think having that agreement in place is just key. So I love that.
Cool. There's a lot of emotion in the process that even though it's very business and very transactional, it's your life. It's where you sleep. It's where you raise your kids. It's, you know, where mom and dad come for Thanksgiving. And so there's a lot of emotion that gets tied into that. So that agency agreement is really what hires someone to be your coach and to help you get to that goal.
It's where you make all of your memories. All of your memories for your whole life are wrapped up in where you live. And I think, so it does. Emotions just shoot through the roof. And I love how you just bring it back to your like interview people, like hire the right person and then be sure they're giving you a contract so that they are working for you. I agree with David. Like that is one of the biggest things that I think real estate agents don't say that because they want your business. They want you to choose them. But I'm more likely to choose you if you're like, hey, interview a couple other people. Like interview me, interview a couple other people. Make sure I'm the right person for you. Like that's going to make me like you even more.
That's amazing. You're a lot like an accountability buddy just for...
Absolutely. If you tell me to buy a house, I'm going to help you buy a house. Let's get this done. Because if I don't get it done, like if I can't help you, then I'm not doing my job either.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Perfect.
So to be a great real estate agent, you have to do more than just show people homes, right? So you seem very personable. You have like a huge network, a huge amount of resources on YouTube that you've created. You mentioned Meetup before. Oh, and the other big thing is that you work for free until someone's ready to buy a house, right?
Yeah.
Kind of what's the process and like, what do you do? Like, how are you different than other real estate agents?
Yeah, absolutely. And there's a lot of pieces to that, but my goal is to really be a resource for all things home. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people don't think is their real estate agent or their realtor is that, but that's really my goal is when you have, I mean, I have one client and I love her. She's awesome. Every time something goes wrong, she calls me, which a lot of agents don't want to get those calls because it becomes more things on our plate. But then I know she trusts me. Then I know because she's like, hey, my garage door broke, right? And I'm like, cool. I'm going to be in the area tomorrow as long as you've got your car out, right? Can you get your car out? And then let me swing by and take a look at it. So that way, not only can I recommend contractors, but I can look at it and say, hey, you have power. The door's trying to lift. Oh, wait, it's the spring that broke. Here's roughly what that's going to cost. And here's the couple of guys I'd recommend you call. If they try to sell you this, this, and this, say, sorry, I don't need that. It's too much. Like, don't worry about the upsell. So I can really guide people because I'm seeing these things all the time. And so even if I'm not able to kind of pre-screen problems, but really just being that resource of not only who do you call, but hey, my property valuation came in from the tax assessor for the county. Should I appeal it? Should I not? I don't understand it. Just
all things home. Like, should I sell this house and buy another one, or should I keep it and rent it? I don't know what to do. My mom is moving out of her place. She wants to put us on the deed. Is that a good idea? All of these types of things that I get questions on all the time. And so that's really proof to me that I'm doing my job and that I'm serving my clients, and my network is being able to help them. And if it's not, even if it's not my expertise, I'm not an estate attorney, right? I am not a CPA. However, I can say, here's how that can affect your home purchase or your home sale or your value. And here's other people to go talk to get more information. But here's a couple of questions you didn't consider. You know, if people are looking at getting solar panels on their roof, cool. Here's some pro, here's some cons. There's also a difference between leasing solar panels and a power purchase agreement and owning them outright. And that can affect your saleability in the market depending on the time you go to sell. So there's all kinds of things that my goal is to foster those relationships with people and be that resource for them. So when they think, hey, it's time to buy or sell, they think, I got to call Stacy. Like, there's not even a second thought in their mind, which still I'll go in and ask, are you interviewing other agents? And they just look at me like, why would I do that? I'm like, cool. I just want to let you know it's an option. You know, I greatly value that trust, but building those relationships for people and not just for, you know, like through meetup and meeting more people that way that need that help, that maybe didn't have that help when they purchased their home or they didn't feel like they had a good experience or a good transaction. That's why I got into this. It's because I bought a house and I was like, yeah, I got the house, but I didn't feel like somebody was coaching me, like somebody was really helping me. And if I were to call them tomorrow, if I had to sell tomorrow, I certainly wouldn't call them. So there's a lot of those people that need that resource. So that's really where I try to add a lot of value to my network and to my clients as well, and differentiate myself as an agent, because my goal is to help you accomplish your goals. Yes, it's how I make a living. It's how I help feed my family. But if I'm not feeling good about that and it's not you accomplishing your goal in the best way possible for you, then that in the end doesn't help me either, because that means I don't get referral business. You don't trust me. You don't come back to me. So that's really where a lot of differentiation comes in for me, that and the technical piece. I have a ton of random knowledge about a lot of different things. And so
we're talking about sprinklers, just the...
Yes, I was doing those again this morning. I was like, I can't get my hair wet, so I'm doing sprinklers. So exactly, when people are like, well, I need a sprinkler thing, and I'm like, sure, you can pay somebody $500 to do this, but I will go with you to Home Depot and show you what you need and show you the YouTube videos on how to do it for $50. And now you're an educated homeowner, right? Mm-hmm. So that's a piece of educating people and not just buying, selling, the wealth management, the long-term effects, the risks, but also basic home maintenance. Here's where your water shutoff is. Here's how to change your furnace filter. By the way, you have a humidifier. You need to change that once a year. Because a lot of people don't do that for anyone. And then they don't know where to go. And then things break and they call somebody. And I'm like, guys, we could have avoided all this. So it's providing almost a home orientation of sorts when somebody first buys their first home. And I do that for my tenants when they live in my house, you know, when they're coming from downtown apartments and they've never lived in a house. I'm like, okay, when you hear water running and you don't see anything, call me, because that means something isn't right. So, you know, and what safety nets can you put in place? I don't know, all this kind of stuff. I just get really passionate about it and really excited about people understanding what they have, how to take care for it, and then how I can help them along the way.
Well, I want to speak to this for you really quick, because so Stacy mentioned we met through a meetup. So, and I get to hang out with Stacy at least once a month because we have like a meetup that we do.
So fun, and you're awesome.
Thank you. I think you're fun and awesome too. So I'm glad you're here with that. Like, I am not Stacy's client because I didn't know her the last time I bought my house, which was a very long time ago, like 15 years ago. Stacy wasn't even a real estate agent yet or in Colorado. But what I do know is Stacy was like, oh yeah, I have to get something fixed with my refrigerator. And so I'll let you know if this is a good refrigerator, because I was like, my refrigerator is having issues. And so this is just me knowing Stacy as a friend through a group, because we have some common interests. And I have never met a real estate agent like you, Stacy, like that just offers up like random home information. I mean, she has this wealth of knowledge that she's happy to share. We were talking about trees and plants that grow in Colorado, because for those of us that, you know, wherever you live, there's certain plants that grow really well and there's certain ones that don't. And when you're trying to make your home look nice outside and you're like, oh, well, I don't want to buy this type of tree because it's not going to grow in Colorado. Home Depot might sell it, but that doesn't mean you should buy it.
Learn that one the hard way, right?
Yeah, but it's like these conversations come up all the time. I mean, at least in my circles, we're talking about fixing our homes or something broke. We need a new washing machine, like whatever the case might be. And I feel like when you have a resource like now, my house flooded recently from 6.5 inches of rain. So then I'm sitting here like, oh, crap, I need to figure out drainage. I need to do flooring. And I was like, hey, Stacy, do you have any referrals? Because she's like, how are you? I saw your house flooded. But you're here as a resource saying, yeah, call these companies to get some ideas to check it out. And I'm so happy to have someone that has, I know you've worked with these companies. They've worked on your properties or for people who've purchased from you, and that I can trust that when I get a quote from them, they're not going to be like a horrible company. And that's something that I think if more real estate agents, so for those of you out there who are, or who are looking at it, like, be Stacy, because I feel like I know a ton of real estate agents, but you have won me over as someone who just knows you and sees how you are. And it's not just me. You're not trying to get me to be your client. This is just how you are when you talk to everyone. Someone brings something up and you're like, oh, I know someone who can help you with that. Or, oh, don't plant that tree in front of your house. I tried that once. It died. And you and you share. And so I just want to say, like, for any of you out there, if you have someone like Stacy in your life, like, make sure to like acknowledge that and thank them for sharing, because I know it's part of your business, Stacy, but I can also see your passion and it makes people want to work with you. And I love that. I love that. And I don't know any real estate agents like you. I really don't.
I was like, you can't make me cry. Well, thank you. It's a huge compliment. And that's really my goal. Like, that's exactly my goal, is to just to be there when people need me. And when they have questions and they don't know what to do, I'm that person to call. I mean, honestly, I had a client call me and say, I think I smell gas in my condo. I'm like, okay, first of all, thank you for reaching out for help. Second of all, I am not the person to call. Hang up and call the fire department and call your management company.
And get out.
Right? Like, yeah, get out. Call people that can make sure you're safe. But just the fact that, like, I'm happy to be that person, like that resource. And yes, it takes time. And that's the part that I have to manage with my support system and my work setup and my day, because there is a lot. You know, like you mentioned, David, as far as a lot of my structure is not showing homes. I spend less time showing homes than I do just about anything else in my business. And so there's so many behind the scenes activities that are what foster those relationships and what help people, because a lot of people think a real estate agent, their job is to show houses. That is a very, very small portion. A lot of our job is to answer those questions for people, to find people that need help. A lot of agents spend time finding those people. Mm-hmm. And my goal is to just talk to people and be that resource for as many as I can. And they will come to me when they need the help. I don't want to go hunt a home buyer. I want people that need help to call me because they already know me and trust me.
Oh, on that, who is your ideal client? Like, what do they look like?
It's a fair question. So I work, and it's interesting because I've found different clients have different needs, right? And that's part of my engineer background loves the puzzle. I love to solve the puzzle, like see all the little pieces and put it together, right? So some of that comes to personality. Some of that comes to location. Some of it comes to available time. So I will tell you, a lot of the clients that I end up having are the people that I know, because either one, we have common interests, right? We like the same things. We run in the same circles. And they value my level of expertise. And so, in my knowledge base and my ability to educate and communicate, I will tell you, the people that don't like somebody that talks, I am not the person for them. I think that's pretty obvious that I know. I talk a lot, and I want people to feel confident in their decisions. And so I tell people all the time, my job is to educate you so you can make an informed decision.
I'm not the decision maker, you are, but you need to have enough information to know what does make sense and what doesn't make sense and know the pros and cons.
So ideally, are you looking for like a first-time home buyer or someone who wants to resell their home in, you know, 5 years or someone who's looking for rental properties? What's kind of your main
person? So I would say my niche tends to be more location-based and needs-based regarding personality information. So the clients that tend to absolutely sing my praises and it's kind of a win-win and we really get it are the ones that are looking in the areas I'm looking in. So I work the South Denver metro area and I tend to work a little bit more towards the Southeast side now. So when I have clients call me that want to shop in, Morrison or Golden or those areas, I find that I can't get there as fast as they need because of how quick the market moves right now. Now, for sellers, I have some flexibility because I have more time. But for buyers, there's different needs there, right? So I tend to work more the South metro area as well as the Southeast quarter because that's where I'm at. That's where I know. That's where I drive and go out to eat with my kids and my family and do all these things, right? So I have really intimate knowledge in those neighborhoods, as well as people that like a lot of information because they need that to feel confident in their decision. So the clients that, honestly, my YouTube clients, they're awesome because they call me and they're like, hey, you already told me everything I need to know. I just need you to help me find a house in the neighborhood. And we're like, cool. This is weird. You already listened to everything. I don't have to say it again. But it means that they found a lot of value in the information. So I add a lot of perspective that they find valuable. So investors, I definitely have first time, second time, third time investors that are kind of adding to their rental portfolio. And that's myself as well. So I can relate to that and I can communicate the needs of that as far as what neighborhoods may rent better, what some of the restrictions are in those neighborhoods. Legislatives, there's a lot of legislative challenges for landlords that just got passed earlier this year and that are probably going to come back up next year. So that context, as well as what I call move up buyers, like, hey, we have our first house, but we want to move up or move to a different area or sell this and go somewhere else. First-time buyers are wonderful. They're a lot of fun and because they love that knowledge, right? They love somebody explaining all these things to them because they're like, wow, I never would have thought of those things. Mm-hmm. So that's a really good fit as well. And I'm also starting to get more people in my network that are downsizing, that are saying, hey, I don't need this much house. I'd like to, you know, simplify life a little bit or, you know, hey, I'm getting divorced. Life changed. I mean, honestly, one of my tenants is a divorcee right now that lives in the same neighborhood. And I'm like, you own a house in the neighborhood. Why would you want? And they're like, hey, it's a different situation. We need another household. And I'm like, okay, cool. I've been through that. I've had clients in that situation before. Let's find something that works for the family. So any of those situations I do really well with, but it's really location-based as well as kind of personality fit and communication style.
Yeah. And that's what I'm definitely hearing is that is the personality aspect. There's a bunch of different like methodologies of the like buying personality types. One I go with is Sherry Trees, where she uses an acronym called BANK, B-A-N-K. But there's, I think, business, A is action, K is knowledge, and N is nurturing. But so there's a personality type, which most people hate working with, which is those who need a lot of information and take forever to make a decision.
Yeah.
Just so happens to be me. I am that person.
Me too.
I work very well.
That's a lot of my niche, to be honest.
Exactly who you cater to.
My background is engineering. My husband's an engineer. A lot of the people that we gravitate towards are very technical or mechanical or logical mindset. I will say a lot of my clientele relates to engineers, IT, doctors, programmers, attorneys.
And they ask ridiculous questions that would just drive a normal person insane. Like,
details. Give me all the details.
Right. And that's the part that a lot of people have gotten frustrated with agents in the past is because they just feel like, well, I don't know. All they did was let me in the house, but they weren't able to answer my questions or the, you know, statistical information. I actually chaired our local realtor association, local association stats committee last year, and I'm on the stats committee this year, and we're doing more classes for the local realtor population because that was a question the realtors were saying is we're getting questions from our clients on statistics and we need help understanding the best way to pull that information and communicate that to them. And so that tends to be my clientele that just sings my praises is because it's just a different level of expertise than some other agents have. So yeah, that's kind of my bread and butter. I mean, other, you know, people that don't fall into that category are amazing clients as well. And to be honest, they always strike me as like, wow, this is, you're listening to me. you're not questioning me. What? Because I'm so used to having the second guessing and needing more information from a lot of my clients. So, but no, I mean, it doesn't mean that that's what people have to be, but those are the people that tend to not be happy with a lot of other people in the industry that gravitate towards me.
Yeah. Yeah. I can see that, because those are the people with a lot of questions that need to know certain things. And if I know more than my salesperson, I get frustrated with them in yes. the industry, right?
Because you shouldn't.
It's like, why would I talk to you then? Why are you going to earn a commission if I already know more about this topic than you?
Right. Right. And there's some of the personality type feels like they need to know more because that's where they feel comfortable making decisions. So right. I almost have to have them give them a mini crash course in, the contracts, and I'll send them contract videos and say, hey, I just did a contract changes video because those change, every other January. And mm-hmm. so here's the contract changes. So, what I know. And that way, but when they watch it there, it's them doing knowledge and research versus me telling them and them having to question whether I'm telling them the truth. So, people have to feel comfortable that they understand enough to make those decisions. And absolutely, that's a ton of people that I work with. So sometimes it takes a lot more time and a lot of agents don't have that patience or the understanding to fit that niche personality type.
Yeah. Well, perfect. So kind of on that note, hearing what makes you go above and beyond is really, really cool. And so I think you gave a lot of really good feedback on there. I think let's take a quick break. And then afterwards, I would love to hear more kind of about the ins and outs of your business and kind of what's going well and maybe some of the struggles that you go through. Because I think a lot of our listener base, our action takers who are in our community, a lot of them are making changes in their life. They're looking at either starting a new business or trying to monetize a hobby that they have, or maybe they are looking at getting their real estate license because they want to dip into that entrepreneurial world. So I think I'd love to hear some of the stuff that you're really enjoying and some of the struggles that you've had that might be really relatable to our action taker audience.
Absolutely. That sounds great.
Perfect. All right. We'll take a quick break and we'll be right back.
Thank you for listening. This has been part one of our two-part series on this topic.
The second episode will be out next week, if it's not out already.
If you enjoyed today's conversation, please consider liking, subscribing, and or reviewing us on wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Also, if there's someone you know who clearly doesn't know what the fuck they're doing and would benefit from this topic, please hit that share button and send them this episode.
Let's normalize the feeling of uncertainty.
Asking for help and admitting that we don't know
what the fuck we're doing either.